is a recording of Liz Priston of Kingsway Rowlands Castle, made on the 6th of August 2005.
Right. My name is Elizabeth Priston. My maiden name was Burt. I was born March the 9th, 1941. Right, my father's father and his brother were born in Rowlands Castle, I think on Durrance. My grandmother came from Reading and met my grandfather, who worked in the dockyard. They lived on Durrance until they moved to 29 Castle Road, which is where I was born.
And their name?
And their name was Bert, and my grandfather's name was Chris, and his brother I'm not sure about, but that's as far as I know about that. My grandfather died quite early, and my grandmother stayed on at 29 Castle Road, where she had a son called Peter, which was my father. My mother lived in Havant and worked in Bentley's, the electrical shop, where she met my father, who was apprenticed in electrical. He then went in the Navy, and of course, through the war, was in the Navy. Maiden name was Silk, and they came from Cornwall. Her family actually was born in Polperro, but came up because her father was in the Navy and came up to Havant. Can you soften it up a little? Of course, once my father and mother got married, being it was wartime, they came to live with my grandmother, which was 29 Castle Road, which is where I was born and spent a lot of my very early time. The earliest memory I think I've got was with my grandmother pushing me up to barracks with her battery, because she had a radio that had to have batteries, and she used to take one up and collect one and bring one back down again. My other memory was of the war, the soldiers being stationed on the golf links and around the golf links and coming up and down the road. And I can remember the one night when the bombs dropped, they missed Castle Road, but they all fell on the golf links, and of course it did make an awful mess of the actual golf links. And then the other memory I can remember is being pushed up to see the King say goodbye to all the troops. Of course, we've got the memorial up on, not very far from where I live now, which is on the top road. And where I live now was the bricks seam for the brickyard, which was in Rowlands Castle. And they used to, before the house was built, take the red clay to the brickyard to make the handmade bricks. Another memory I can just remember, and I was just walking, I said, walking anyway, because I was about three and a half, was the soldiers coming, and I don't know why they came to the door, living in Castle Road, and this soldier said, "You're a little boy," and I said, "No, I'm not, I'm a little girl," and I stabbed my foot. I could just remember that as well, and I said, "Look, I've got a dress on, I'm a little girl," and he said, "No, you're not, you're a little boy." I have two brothers, of which went to St. John's School. I didn't actually go to St. John's School, I went to Havant, so it was a different era, but I did go to Warblington and met my brothers back then there. But my mother worked as a dinner lady at Rowlands Castle School, and I can always remember having the children's fair things in the Stubbington's Field, which was behind the old school, because it was all fields behind there, and helping out there. And we did the maypole dancing, you know, on the 1st of May, which I don't think many children do these days, which I always thought was lovely. We used to do the maypole, but yeah. I went to Havant Secondary, or Junior, and then Havant Secondary, and I used to go down on the bus, because the buses used to run more frequently then than what they do now. And of course, we could get right the way down to Southsea on the bus. And when we went to Warblington, which was a little bit later, we used to go on the train to Havant, then Havant to Warblington. So it was quite a little journey, but yeah, we did it. So, one of my jobs when I was just before, you know, 10, 11, I used to go with a little churn down to the dairy, which is at the top of Lynx Lane, or the start of Lynx Lane. Then sometimes, because my grandmother was a very good seamstress, she used to do work for a seamstress, which is in a little low house, which is just out onto the green. I can't remember the number of it then. I then used to walk down, sometimes drop letters in the post office, which was a small shop on there, and then into the drugstore if I had to get anything, then the post office, then always pick up a loaf of bread, which is the shop, is now the state agent, and then go on to Ryan's, isn't it? Yes. And then go on down to the grocer's shop and butcher's shop, which was now Robin Hall's, or the tea shop. And opposite, there was a very little shop where my great-grandfather used to own, which was a vegetable shop when I was very young, but I don't know what it was in his day. And then, of course, we had Spa, the other shop. So I used to have to do my rounds before I went to school. Yeah, so I used to go and do it before school, yeah, and go off and... especially on a Saturday anyway, we used to do it. And I used to do a paper round. But then that paper round was Wally Francis's, which is was halfway up Red Hill. So my brothers and I used to go out and do our paper rounds, which was all over the place. We used to change them round. So that was my pocket money when I was younger. When I was 11, became a guide, and we were the first, there was four of us that started guides, and it was in a hut in opposite the Beechwood nursing home there. There was a little gap, and there was an old hut there we used to go in. Mrs. Woodlands was the guider, Jean Mallory was one of them, but that was her married name, I can't remember. No, I can't remember the other two. So yeah, we became the first guides, and then it grew from there, and I was a guide for a long, long time, until I became a sea ranger, which was in Emsworth, and I was just like with a sea ranger. When I left school, I wanted to actually go in the Navy and be a nurse, but I had health problems, so I couldn't do it. But I always loved flowers, so I worked for Sir Dimmock White. Now, Sir Dimmock White lives, or had a house, where not very far from the Bupa, opposite the Bupa Hospital now. And I worked there for many years. And I worked in the gardens there, actually. Yes, I did, yes, that's right. And I also used to ride the hunters, because he had the big stables there, he had the coach and four. And I used to take the coach and four out, and I used to exercise the horses. That was my love of horses as well. So I got into that. Yes, that's right. Because we used to go across the road and then walk in the woods, but because there's a whole lot of new houses on there now, just down the road a bit.
And but the name of the
Yeah, it could have been, yes. I can't remember now, but there was always a contest between him and, who's the other one over the hill? And they used to go to these rallies where the coaches used to... That's right, Tom Parker. Well, I used to clean all the brasses and things like that. But I loved the horses. And there was a lovely horse, and when I used to clean him, he used to always lean against me. Push him out of the way. But yes, I love them. I think they're...
Do you remember the colour of the coach?
They were brown. Yes, really brown, really lovely.
And where did you learn to ride?
Well, I learned to ride through them, actually. I used to go out with them and hacking with them, you know, and training, and then they used to put me up on... They used to have different sets of horses, and of course they had the hunters for actually hunting as well. So it was lovely because they had a huge stables there, and I used to have to go and help muck out them, and then I used to have to rake the drive of... It was all little white stones,
yeah.
And the most amazing thing with that house, it had camellias all the way down the drive. Can you remember those? All the big trees, and the blossoms used to fall. But it was lovely. And the produce from there, we used to go to Havant Market. When Havant had a cattle market, and the cattle used to come in on the trains, and it's up where the shops are now. But we prayed, that's right, yeah, that's right. We used to go there in the old van. Yeah, that's right. So it was quite a... I became ill with health problems, and I had to leave Dymock White, and I didn't know what to do for a little while, but then I went into a factory, which I didn't really like, but I went to Plessy's and worked at New Lane doing speakers, loudspeakers, believe it or not, and I worked there for several years, and then went to... I moved down to Portsmouth, and this is the only time I left, for 4 years I left Roland's Castle, and I got married and moved down to Portsmouth, and I got married at Havant Church, and I moved down to Portsmouth and worked for Marconi's, and I worked at Marconi's for 22 years, and then when they made us redundant, I then... after 4 years I moved back to Roland's Castle to look after my grandmother, actually, who had then moved from 29 Castle Road to the house I'm living in now, and my mother took over 29 Castle Road, and she became ill with high blood pressure and things like that, and she couldn't go up and downstairs, so we had to give up that house, which was sad in a way because the birth had been in there from the beginning. And I moved her into one of the flats at the top end of Castle Road to look after until she died. But I looked after my grandmother, who lived in where I live now, and they were new houses from the 50s. Can you remember the new houses that went up? And I've been there ever since. So my life has been all Roland's Castle, actually. From a very... Early on in my teens, I became a Sunday school teacher at St John's, and I taught many, many children that I see now have got children of their own, actually. I then left Roland's Castle, I said, to get married, and my husband's name was Landry. He was from Portsmouth, and we lived in Portsmouth until we came back to Roland's Castle. His Christian name was Tony or Anthony. He then died of a heart attack after X amount of years of marriage. And I met my second husband, I'm married to now, at work at Marconi's, and we've been married for 18 years, which I can't believe it's gone by. his name is Douglas Denis. He was born in London and got bombed out and came down to Roland's Castle, down to Hayling Island, and lived all most of his life on Hayley Island, so he's a Hayley Island boy. And believe it or not, went to the same school as me, but I didn't know him. He went to Warblington School, and he knew the Winnicotts and quite a few people, and Ted Redstone he knew, but for some reason, I don't know, but I might be because he is a year younger than me, and we were in a slightly different classes, but yes, it's a strange we should meet again. Where do you want me to start from? I worked at Marconi's, first of all, working on Skynet, which was a big project where, with America, they put these rockets up, and it was an early morning system that had radar that crisscrossed, so if any rockets came near it, it would send the alarm. I then moved on to SeaDart, which is what the Royal Navy is still using now, and I had a very good fortune. I have a great friend whose husband was in the Navy, which came out of the Navy. I went on the board Illustrious, and he actually showed me the SeaDart, and I said, oh gosh, I actually made those, and my stamp's probably on them. And I worked, as I say, for 22 years for Marconi, and my later job for Marconi was the Mark 24, which is another big torpedo that I think shot the Belgrano, and they used it on the Belgrano. Then that, well, I was made redundant there because the whole of Marconi, or that section of Marconi, was moved up to Chelmsford. I then moved into the job that I'm in now, and it's a totally different job to what I did before. I make Doppler, or help, or do the testing on Doppler monitors for intensive care units, and that is in all the big London hospitals and in the hospitals down here, Alexandra and everything. And I've gone and given demonstration. It's quite high technology, which is quite interesting. And at 64 and 3/4, I'm still working. Full time. So I don't know if that's enough for you for that. One of my greatest things now is my needlework. I do a lot of needlework for a lot of people and a lot of things. When I was very young, my grandmother looked after me because I had two brothers and they were quite a handful, and I think my mum used to put me onto my grandmother, who really did adore me. I was very lucky. But she was a seamstress, and when I wanted to go out to play, I used to have to sit and do this needlework. So I had to learn to knit with string, to do the pot holder and the dishcloth, and then embroidery pot holders. And of course at 6 and 7 and 8 you hated doing it, and I hated it, and I thought I'd never like to do needlework. But as time went on, I got to love it, and I do really enjoy it now. And I do needlework nearly every day apart from working. But I go to college, and I went to college and got my City and Guilds in dress and design and pattern cutting, which has helped me no end, because I do a lot of things. But the artistic bit of it has come about because I went to Bognor College once for a day, and I met a teacher there who is really fantastic, and my world has opened. And I really, where I was very wee, I wanted a flower to be a flower, and I had to be a perfect flower. Now I can see things, I can see lots of other things, and I've gone into doing banners and church stuff, which I never thought I'd do, which I'm really eternally grateful for the artistic side of it. One of the main things that I really love doing is my gold work. I never thought I'd be able to do gold work, but going to college has really taught me how to do it, and I've just done a big banner for my husband's lodge, who's in the book, and there's 22 letters of gold work on there, which is something quite fantastic. And I've learnt to paint on material. One of my other loves is silk painting. I do dye silk painting, and I just love it. It just goes woof, and it makes all these beautiful colours. I put salt on it, which takes the paint away and gives you all these lovely designs. Or if you put sugar on it, it goes away from you, and you've got another dimension. But I do silk ribbon embroidery. I weave with silk. I paint. I do applique, patchwork, and quilting. I don't think there's a thing that I haven't done, which I'm extremely lucky I can do, and I can sit and do it, which is great. Well, my prize is for WI. I've gone in for quite a few things and got quite high marks. I wove 2 handbags in silk ribbon. Do you remember those? And got 20 of that one. I did a cushion where I took reds and wove them into creams on the weft and the warp and cut them out and leaves and appliqued them on and put gold work around them and the oranges and the greens. And I did a scarf which I won some things for there, so I've been extremely lucky. Well, time's gone on, and I'm still working, but my mother belonged to the WI actually in her youth, that's right, in Rose Garden. And I've still got some certificates of the knitting she did actually. So I ought to give them to the WI as a memento. But I suddenly realised, thought, well, I've always been interested in the village and things like that. So I thought I'd better become a member of the WI. Which I did, and I thoroughly enjoy it, and I met a lot of nice people. One of the first projects I did was help make the Millennium Wall Hanging, and there was a lot of talk about how to do it and things like that, and this is where my luck of being with this teacher at Bognor. I spoke about doing a plique, and the whole centre of this wall hanging is the village green, of which the houses are all minutely cut out of material and appliqued on and then embroidered over, and you can actually, it does look like the village. And it took us a long time, and then all the other people of the WI did the black work, which is outlines of all different scenes, and then myself and Vera Whitlock, we joined it all together, I machined it, and then we had to stitch her up on top and me underneath with needles, so it took us a long time. But it was something to be proud of. It hangs in the parish hall, and as you go in and look on the wall, it's there, it'll be forever. I'm quite proud of it, really. Oh, where do I start? Oh right, opposite where I used to live, I always call it the Twitten. It's the path that leads from Castle Road across the golf links to Links Lane. Right. Also, when I lived in Castle Road, we used to have a fair come. Dead opposite us, where the bungalows are built now, was a great big field. And we used to have once a year a fair come. It was, I think it was in September, and for many years it came. So it was quite enjoyable because it was quite easy for us to get to, just across the road. Well, where I was going now? Sorry. Also in my youth, we had a couple of places where we had dances. One was the old church hall at St. John's, which is now pulled down, but the other one was in the public house, which has got a big room up on top, which is now the Robin Hood. It used to be called the Railway. And every month or so, we used to have a disco type thing with the old records, which was very enjoyable. We couldn't do it too much because it got too big and the floor wasn't so safe, so we had to come out of it. But what else? Because when the family was growing and my father was still away at sea and things like that, we had to move from my grandmother's house, and we rented a very small bungalow which was in this field where the fair came. We then, I think, was either condemned or the land was sold, and we rented a part of the old rectory, which is up on the 2149, and we had the front half of the house, which we had gas mantles there. And I can remember my mum telling me off so many times, because once you put the gas mantle in and turned it on and it flame burnt the protective covering, I used to always break them. And I can remember the snow being there, not being able to get out. I think it was in 1947. Also, when we were youngsters, of course, Lee Park, the estate of Lee Park, was sold. And our playground, because we used to go out the back of the old rectory, all the big trees were cut down, and we used to watch the loggers take them. And also we used to watch the charcoal burners, and we used to watch them pack all this wood in and seal it off, and they lived in little small caravans. And at that time, of course, I didn't realise how much charcoal, or what charcoal was, but it was quite fascinating to watch. And of course now half of the big estate is housing. But the actual park where we used to play is still fields, and that belongs to the water company. And just a little bit further up into the woods, because I go and walk in there because I have a dog, there's the sump holes, and these holes are never dry. And I think the springs go from there through this, which belongs to the water company, underground, and comes out at Homewell at Haddon. Is that right? When we came back to Roland's Castle, my husband, he was a hunting, shooting, fishing man. And we got friendly with Mr. Buckle, who was the gamekeeper up at Stansted. And for many, many years, both my husband and I picked up on the shoots. And we've had some quite experiences with especially some of the Americans that came over. But when my husband died, I gave that up. But my new husband is, and myself, belong to the International Tree Foundation, and we plant trees all over the place if we can get permission to do so. Mostly we've done it on Hayling, and all along the old Hayling Billy line when the lines were taken out, and around the parks and things like that. So it's quite good.